Grüezi miteinander, ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde aus nah und fern. Ich begrüße Sie zu dieser Sondersendung von Weltwoche Daily, die andere Sicht, unabhängig, kritisch, gut gelaunt aus Belgrad, aus der serbischen Hauptstadt. Und nun befinden wir uns in einer prächtigen Bibliothek mit hochkarätigen Gästen. Ich werde sie gleich vorstellen. I will shortly introduce, of course, you, but now I'm speaking in German a bit about our environment for our viewers. Also wir sind hier in einer wunderschönen Bibliothek des serbischen Parlaments, während wir hier diskutieren, in einer kurzen Pause, 30 Minuten, sind da nicht weit von hier die großen Debatten der Parteien. Da wird jetzt über Serbiens Innenpolitik und Außenpolitik debattiert und vielleicht auch gestritten. Und ich bin sehr froh, dass wir die Chance bekommen haben, mit zwei ganz außerordentlichen Frauen zu sprechen, die Serbiens Politik bestimmen, die sie prägen und auch in unterschiedlichen Funktionen schon geprägt haben. Ich möchte hier zu meiner Rechten beginnen mit Ana Brnabic. Ana Brnabic ist bis vor kurzem Premierministerin gewesen in Serbien. Sie ist zurückgetreten, ist jetzt Parlamentspräsidentin. Sie war eine ganz enge, könnte man sagen, Unterstützerin des serbischen Präsidenten Aleksandar Vučić. Und wie ich gelesen habe, war sie eine der am längsten dienenden Premierministerin. I just said that you were one of the longest serving Prime Ministers. So please correct me when I'm wrong. Also ganz toll, dass wir hier die Premierministerin, die frühere und jetzige Parlamentspräsidentin bei uns haben. Und dann zu meiner Linken ist Jelena Begovic. Jelena Begovic ist die Wissenschaftsministerin Serbiens. Sie ist also in der Regierung tätig. Und das ist auch das Thema, worüber wir sprechen in dieser Sendung. Wir wollen uns mal etwas abseits der reinen Geopolitik über die Wissenschaft und über dieses Profil von Serbien unterhalten. Well, so I switch to English now to get it. We can look at each other. Sometimes if you want to, you can also look into the camera, how you feel comfortable. First to start with, if you talk about science in Serbia, of course, there are big names coming up. The most famous is the one of Nikola Tesla, but there are other ones. Mihailo Pupin, Mileva Maric. Well, Prime Minister, Ms. President, can you just tell me Serbian science? What has to be known? What is the most important thing to know about Serbia in relation to science?
Well, I like to talk about kind of contemporary times, and absolutely we are so profoundly proud of our scientists, such as Nikola Tesla or Mileva Maric, Einstein, Mihailo Pupin, Milutin Milanković, and others that have contributed significantly to the innovation and technological development of the entire world. Today, we are trying to build science as one of the cornerstones of our economic development, but also to invest into science the way I see it as former Prime Minister and today the President of the Parliament, to also tackle the brain drain issue. And we have successfully managed to do that in the past several years. So we see science and technology in general, innovation, research and development as something that will manage, that will help us manage to actually get all of the time that we have lost in the 90s and early part of the 2000s, the first decade of the 2000s, to actually have faster development, so to catch up and on all of this lost time and to actually position Serbia as one of the leading countries in certainly in Central and Eastern Europe.
It would be interesting to follow these perspectives. Minister Begovic, what do you say? Are these at the moment, where is Serbia staying in scientific terms? I mean, you are the science minister. You have to fulfill what has been promised here. Where are we standing now? What is the state of affairs as science is concerned in Serbia?
Serbia has excellent science. According to all the KPIs, if you are following them, we have a long history of quite strong, particular STEM education, which in these quite challenging times, I would say, gives us an advantage compared to many other countries. And the government definitely decided to put science is a priority, science in the function of the innovation development, and science as, I would say, engine of the economical development, but also societal development and development of our society as a whole. So we are not a large scientific community because we are not a large country. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, we are maybe because of that, paying attention to every single talent mm-hmm. in our country. We have a specialized fund for talents, which is focused on the education, on the career development of our scientists. We are also building quite strong infrastructure to somehow bring back, at least partially, our diaspora, which is quite successful in science. Very successful careers have been developed all around the world. And this is a proof of how strong scientific community we do have, potentially in the country, but also outside the country. So it's upon us, as representatives of the government, to build more stronger infrastructure to bring back and strengthen our scientific community.
What would you say are the strengths of the science community in Serbia? One could argue Serbia is somehow located in the center of Europe, but it's always been a bridge between East and West. And this seems to be also the goal of your president, to work with the whole world. What would you say is, for young scientists, the promise of Serbia? What are your specific strengths? Probably something you can do better than others.
Well, absolutely. As it comes to our geographical position, I think we have amazing opportunity somehow between, you know, east, west, south, north, in the center. Excellent position. Economically, we have the access to almost 3 billion people as a marketplace. Mm-hmm. So this also gives us a huge advantage if we talk about science, development of innovation, and development of the products. So we are quite interesting for the investments in the science and innovation. When it comes to the fields of science, definitely ICT is something that is extremely strong developed in Serbia. This has become our number one export good from 2012, when we were exporting, for instance, 375 million euros of goods and services in ICT. Now we are exporting almost 4 billion. Mm-hmm. Now the things are changing in science. I always say, 20th century was the century of physics. 21st century definitely is century of biology and intersection of biology and ICT. So completely new fields are being developed, particularly with artificial intelligence that is really changing our everyday lives. So we see the merging between bio and ICT and artificial intelligence, something that will definitely bring the advantage to Serbia. And as such, we are building a huge campus in Serbia, in Belgrade, that will be dedicated to four biofields: biomedicine, biotechnology, bioinformatics and AI, and biodiversity. And we call it Bio4 Campus. So this we see as a future of Serbian science.
Just for the non-insiders, ICT meaning?
Informational and communicational technologies.
Okay, so this is like the interface of biology and information
and
technology.
Digital.
And digital.
Yes.
And I have to point out that, Minister Begovic, you are a biologist yourself by education with the best degrees and university career behind you. Now, one thing which is somehow a problem in our academic world, we see it even in the most famous universities of the world. You see Harvard, you see even in Great Britain, Oxford, Cambridge, is this so-called woke culture. The politicization of science, you know, that you're not allowed to ask certain questions, or you are supposed to come to certain conclusions. What is the climate? What's the intellectual climate here in Serbia? Are you also a woke champion on campus? Is there also this push to address, more the, whatever you call it, ideological aspects of science? What would you say?
Well, I think to add on what Minister Begovic has said, I think one of the key competitive advantages of Serbia in terms of advanced technologies, science, innovation, research and development is that we look at these things, as we have said, as vehicles to drive the innovation, as vehicles to drive our economic development, to drive the increased quality of life of our citizens, and to add value to Serbia in general. We do not look at these things or perceive them through the lens of politics. If there are fantastic scientists in Russia and they want to come and work from Serbia, they're more than welcome. In the same way as there are fantastic scientists in the U.S. and if they want to come and work here, we are happy to host them. We have scientists here from Russia. We have scientists from Ukraine. We have scientists from Belarus. We have scientists from Iran. We have scientists from EU member countries. We have scientists from the United States, from Switzerland, Norway, other countries. And we want to attract more of them to Serbia. Unfortunately, I have to say, in my view, as again, politician, the world is more and more increasingly viewing at science through the lens of politics, which is not good for science. It's not good for all of the key challenges that we need to address globally, such as, for example, climate change. So Serbia is absolutely 100% open to work on different projects, to work with different people, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their background. So I think that's one of the key advantages.
We just discussed this in the preparation with my colleague, that today we have this attitude of so-called institutionalized arrogance by certain countries. You know, probably they identify themselves as so-called Western countries, and they feel somehow entitled to tell the whole world how they should live. How much pressure do you see on Serbia against this freedom of the spirit, of the human mind? Are they telling you, well, you have to stop inviting Russians, Chinese, people from Belarus, please get only people from whatever places that are politically correct? Do you feel the pressure on the scientific community, of the scientific biotope system of Serbia?
Well, I would say, obviously, Minister Begovic can say much more about the pressure on scientific community. From the point of view of different pressures imposed on Serbia, other countries, certainly there are a lot of these pressures. I think Serbia is standing strong in terms of always having good arguments why we do something or why we do not want to do something, you know. Why, how and why we are rejecting those pressures, because we know really well, we are very clear in our minds what we want to achieve for our country and for our citizens. And in terms of the pressures, you know, the only thing that we actually, or the priority that we aspire to is the international rule of law, the UN Charter, and then obviously the will of our people as well. And that's it. I mean, there are huge pressures. I sometimes feel that it is really bad for the, if you want, as you have said, the West, to impose its values onto others. I think that if, you know, people really believe in their values, they should live by these values. If other people want to accept these values, they will. If they want, they don't want to, you know. And if these are superior values, then I guess people will accept them by themselves. But they cannot, they must not be imposed onto others.
Minister Begovic, how dangerous is the situation right now, or how much in danger is the culture of the free human mind you know, talking about these developments, geopolitical pressure, woke culture, whatever you name it. How dangerous is that?
Well, I wouldn't say it's dangerous. I mean, when it comes to science, you know, science like water, so it has to flow freely. And we shouldn't impose any borders, any obstacles, anything in front of. Although it happens, it's happening, but you know, the water finds its way all the time. So science and critical thinking that science is bringing is quite important for every society. It shouldn't be politicized, but it should. The science should be asked for so many important things and decisions. And there are countries that are involving more science. There are countries that are not involving science enough in bringing the decisions. But we are facing, I would say, the global challenges, and we're all facing it. We live on one planet. So at the moment, we still cannot leave, so we don't have another home. And those global challenges require quite complex solutions. Mm-hmm. And these quite complex solutions require knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then the logical step is to include science and scientists. So we are not going to find the solutions without science and without the knowledge, whether we are talking about even geopolitical things, when they, you know, when you analyze them, we're speaking about, for instance, some critical resources, we're talking about some critical materials that we have a geopolitical problems around them, but we do need more science and more knowledge in decision making and in discussions on these global challenges.
We were talking about these geopolitical tensions that are also somehow hampering or hindering the scientific progress. What do you think? Is science stronger than these geopolitical tensions that we are seeing? I mean, you have argued that the challenges are huge, you know, climate change, whatever. I mean, other challenges, medical challenges that we have. Is the force to cooperate at the end stronger than the will of politicians to separate the world? What do you think? Is science somehow one of these indestructible bridges holding the world together?
So far, science survived. Science survived thousands of years. If we go back into the history, going, you know, up and down with different geopolitical environments. But nevertheless, I think science is again in front of the great test or tests. But so far, I would say so good, because without the science, there is no development. There is no development of economy. There is no development of society. There is no individual development. We are definitely, we definitely have a science on every day, in every day's life of ours. And there is a challenge, but again, as far as I can see, I've been traveling a lot for past two years. The scientists all around the world are still collaborating, in spite of the restrictions, in spite of what the governments are posing. They are still collaborating and they still stick together. So I'm really giving them the full support for that, because we do need collaboration at least in one level on the global level.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, one of the biggest strengths of our culture is, you know, is the openness of our societies, that we can interact, that we can work together. I mean, it's interesting, we're talking about science and diplomacy. I've just noted here that Serbia has brought in a UN resolution on science for sustainable development. There is an initiative on the UN level, a scientific initiative. Can you talk about, probably give us some insights about this science and diplomacy issue?
Sure. On the UN resolution, I think it was very, very important for us to also use not just the science, but the, in general, technological development that we have experienced and we have invested in the past, well, about 8 years as a country, and achieved incredible successes and incredible benefits for our people. For example, the IT sector, information technology, became the fastest growing sector of our economy, mm-hmm. and the next and the net biggest exporting sector. And before that, about, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we were perceived as a country which is the strongest in agriculture. The UN resolution also serves to, you know, for us to try and bridge that political gap, to bring everyone on board in such an important topics such as science and innovation. But also for us, in terms of diplomacy, it is a changed image of Serbia, because Serbia is often perceived as a one-issue country, still linked very much with as much as the rest of the Balkans, unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, with the wars of the 90s and other issues, and we have so much more to offer, and so this is one way in which we are changing the perception of Serbia, but also hopefully of the Balkans as well.
One of the most important and interesting raw materials of today's time is lithium, which Serbia is also in the spotlight. Can you say something about this? I mean, there are many articles, you know, published in the press. I mean, what's the essential thing? Where is the misunderstanding? This seems to me also as one of the qualities you have, that you have you offer these kind of raw materials which are so important for today's technology, but you get criticized for that.
It's extremely important, I would say, strategically important project for Serbia, the lithium mine, but not just the lithium mine. Lithium mine is only the beginning. It's the whole value chain. And a lot of that value chain we already have in Serbia, again, thanks to our own scientists. We have a startup company called 11S that has developed the first lithium LFP battery that doesn't have any nickel or cobalt, developed in Serbia. That's the only or the first right now LFP battery developed outside of the People's Republic of China. So we already have that. We have Stellantis that is producing electric vehicles in Serbia. We work on the value chain, but the problem, again, for example, with that project is that it's being politicized here at home in Serbia, and not many people are actually listening to the scientists who know about lithium, not to the scientists who knows about medicine, but about lithium, about the technological processes. So science has a huge role to play, as Minister Begovic said. But finally, I would just like to emphasize that, when you talk about technological development, innovation, science, as a diplomacy, and when you look at how Serbia has changed, and I think a very wise politics that is led primarily by our president, Mr. Aleksandar Vučić, and then followed on by the government, the majority in the parliament, supported by majority of our citizens. If you look at Serbia, you will see that the biggest trading partner of Serbia is Germany, mm-hmm. by far. The biggest partner in services, because of the strong information technology, is the United States. And the biggest exporter from Serbia are Chinese companies. Mm-hmm. So you have one of the leading or the leading country of the UN in exchange of goods, the US in exchange of services, and China as the biggest exporter. That is, in my view, how you build strong economy, sustainable development, and how you utilize for the benefits of your own people, of your own economy, for their quality of life, you utilize basically their connections with the entire world.
Yeah. One issue we have to touch upon is women in science. I mean, basically, you can say the general prejudice goes, the more you go to the East in Europe, the more macho minded the societies become, the more male dominated the societies become. Now I'm surrounded by extremely powerful women here, former prime minister and president of parliament, and here the science minister. Please, Minister Begovic, say something about women and science. What is here the situation? What do you do to encourage women to make progress, to make careers in science?
Well, the perception is completely wrong, I will tell you, because in our science, for instance, in our research institutes, 60% are women scientists, and they are, in most of the cases, leading the institute, so on the top positions like CEOs. At our faculties, more than 50% are women. More than 55% of PhDs are women. So maybe we're not a good example for your question. I'm just kidding. But we do nurture the presence of women in science. Even in our startup community, we have higher number compared to EU. But in other areas, including the STEM, where almost 47% are women, so we're talking about engineering, mathematics. So we have, I would say, one of the best numbers in the world when it comes to the presence of women in science. So they are being completely supported. They are completely equal. They have the same salaries as men at the same position, which is not the case in much more developed countries in the world. And one of the best universities in the world, this is not the situation. So I will always put this in front to really present Serbia as one of the best examples when it comes to women in science.
We have a lot of viewers, of course, in Switzerland, but also in Germany, in Austria, and of course also many scientists. And probably if you have one additional message, I think we are ending already the end of our time, but is there an important message you want to address for our viewers in Germany, in Austria and in Switzerland as far as Serbia as a science hotspot is concerned? What has to be considered? What has to be said to this international audience, which we haven't said already?
Well, I always say Serbia is not a big market, but Serbia is becoming a global spot for creation, for creativity, for play with the mind. And as a consequence of that, you have a good science, you have innovation, and Serbia is an amazing pool of talent, of people with amazing innovative ideas and really strong science.
And my final question goes to you, former Prime Minister, President of Parliament. Switzerland, of course, is also a country with a strong scientific culture and scientific community. What about the scientific relationships between Serbia and Switzerland? What can Switzerland do better? What is important for the Swiss to know about Serbia related to this topic we're discussing here?
Well, I have to say that we have initially, back in 2016, when we have outlined our priority that science, innovation, technology becomes key driver of our economy, we have learned a lot at that time, back in that time, from Switzerland. At that time, Aleksandar Vučić, who's currently president, was the prime minister, and he sent me, I was then the Minister of Public Administration, to Switzerland, and we've learned from the example of Digital Switzerland. So we have established, on that example, we have established our own organization, Digital Serbia, which have served as external advisor to the government to basically tell us what is it that we need to change and how to change it to become more and more competitive. One thing that we have done, I think, better and faster than Switzerland is, for example, the reform in the education sector. We have very efficiently, in 2017, introduced coding and programming as mandatory subjects in our primary schools. We have then continued that reform. So, you know, we have already the basis of AI as subjects in our schools. We are one of only, according to UNESCO, of only 11 countries worldwide that teaches big data and artificial intelligence in schools. And I think we have learned from Switzerland. We believed in ourselves and our people, and we really had a very efficient, very horizontal government that was really just roll up the sleeves and do things. And that's why, and I'll tell you a number which is unbelievable. Back in 2012, Serbia's annual IT export, the export of our information and communication technology, annual was 375 million euros. Mm-hmm. This year, it will be above 4 billion euros. That's how fast we have changed. And I would invite everyone to come and visit at least for 2027 when we are hosting the World Specialized World Expo here in Belgrade to see how Serbia has changed in the past, at that time, in the past 15 years from the changes when the people decided that some, you know, they want a different politics led by predominantly Mr. Aleksandar Vučić, how Serbia has changed and what we have to offer to Europe and to the world.
Let me point out another very final question, because you brought me on this topic. We have a huge discussion now in Switzerland about our schools. People think we are too much addressing, you know, the so-called soft subjects, and there is not enough focus on math and on natural science. Is there anything we can learn here from Serbia? I mean, you said it. You come from war times. You have to build up a lot. You have to convince to regain people which probably went outside, but brain drain. What is important in the school, in the early school education, that you can foster this culture of science? Do you have a focus on math in schools, or is it that you put more on that and not so much on, you know, whatever history, languages? Is there like a natural science push even for the small children or in the primary school?
Well, actually, yes, in the primary school and also secondary and afterwards, we do have strong, again, STEM areas, including math. So math is quite important in our education. I don't know whether we are on a good track or not, but as a result, we do have really strong engineers that are coming out from our universities, and we do have extremely strong mathematicians, because our kids are going on different international Olympics for mathematics all around the world, and they always win, you know, silver, gold. Mm-hmm. So we invest a lot in mathematics during their mm-hmm. Primary education. Now we have also coding, which is preparing them on not what is coming, it's already here. So the artificial, living with the artificial mm-hmm. intelligence. So you have to know how to use it. You have to understand it in order to really survive the times that are ahead of us. So I do think that still strong STEM areas, STEM fields should be implemented from the grade one in elementary schools. Of course, now the question is whether to go through digitalized version of the education or some mixture, hybrid. These experiments, let's say, are being conducted all over the world. There is no one perfect solution. Nevertheless, I wouldn't give up on STEMs in elementary school, never.
Yeah. And
I would also add that we have learned so much from Switzerland about dual education system, and it helped us enormously in reforming also a little bit of our education system and making it more fit for the economy. So great thanks to Switzerland about that. And I would say that we are also trying to experiment, especially in higher education on the, you know, faculty level. What we are introducing are specialized master studies where you combine faculties that I think you would never combine, such as arts and technology, because we have, for example, a very strong gaming sector. Mm-hmm. So we bring in students from the Faculty of Arts and the Faculty of Technical Sciences. So they learn from each other, and then they already combine teams that can actually be winning teams. So, for example, for biotechnology, you know, medicine and technology. So we try to experiment, and that is, I think, also important to mention when people are thinking about Serbia or investors thinking about potentially coming to invest in Serbia, is that here in Serbia, you probably have the most open-minded administration that you would find anywhere, certainly in Europe, but perhaps worldwide.
And artificial intelligence, is that a huge chance or a threat?
In my view, a huge chance. It will help us do things more efficiently, especially a huge chance in the healthcare sector. That is where we are using AI for now the most, to help our doctors, do much more larger scanning programs. But also, in other sectors such as energy. So I think huge chance. Obviously needs to be done carefully. Obviously everyone needs to implement it in education as soon as possible, because people need to young people, students, kids need to understand AI. They need to understand what are, for example, deep fakes. They need to, again, be empowered to think with their own head, because at the end of the day, AI as a threat will change the world, and people will have to rely on their own mind to figure out whether something is real or not. So critical thinking and reasoning will be key in education in the future.
Ms. President, Ms. Minister, thank you very much. We were talking about artificial intelligence, but in this program we can see the unbeatable strength of natural intelligence, especially with our guests here in this program. Thank you very much. Ich möchte Ihnen ganz herzlich danken, unseren beiden Gästen hier in der Sendung. Das war eine Übersichtsfahrt in das wissenschaftliche Gelände Serbiens, in diese wunderschönen Bibliothek, und auch ein Plädoyer dafür, dass man eben mit dem Werkzeug des menschlichen Geistes immer wieder die Grenzen auch verschieben kann, in einer Art und Weise, wie man sich das vielleicht nie gedacht hätte. Und wenn es uns gelungen ist, ein paar Leute da draußen zu inspirieren, sich mit Serbien auseinanderzusetzen, und eben, wir sehen das hier, repräsentiert von zwei Frauen, die höchste Ämter erklommen haben, wenn das nicht mehr anregen, wenn das nicht mehr motivierend ist, sich hier sozusagen vertieft damit zu befassen, dann wissen auch wir nicht mehr weiter. Also ganz herzlichen Dank, many thanks again. Ihnen vielen Dank fürs Zuschauen, und bleiben Sie auf jeden Fall dran. Wir werden weiterhin natürlich auf diesem Kanal mit Programmen, mit Sendungen, mit Gesprächen kommen, die Sie sonst nirgends so erleben können. Merci vielmal, wir melden uns zurück. So, thank you very much. Perfect.